This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. On this week's episode, we're going to hear from Tim Holkamp and Christine Turner on the young event horse Le Lion d'Angers Grant. And we're also going to be talking to Rob Burke about the USEA's qualifications for that grant, and Debbie Adams, who produces young event horses, one of which is qualified for this year's final. As well, Tim Holkamp, along with his wife Cheryl, will be talking about the retirement of Windfall and what his career meant to them. And we'll begin with Tim Holkamp and Christine Turner. Let's start with you, Christine, if you will. Tell us a little bit about this prize, how it was initiated in the first place.
How it was initiated, good friend Tim could probably fill you in better on that. He had come to me with it and had all things ready to go. And I said, so Tim, maybe you can come in and tell us all about it.
Sure, I'd be glad to. The Young Event Horse Project knew for years that it was going to be necessary to create another rung or two on the upward pathway ladder for an event horse.
We're going to get you to speak up a little bit, if you would, Tim. You're rather faint there.
You want me to start over?
Yes, if you would.
Okay. Yeah, is this better then?
That's much better. Off you go.
All right. I'll do what I can. of course. The Young Event Horse Project has known for years that it was going to be important to add a couple of rungs to the upward pathway ladder for event horse development after the age of five. We had all along thought that probably we could do something domestically for age six, but age seven is already, that territory's already been staked out by the FEI with the Le Lion d'Angers, which is a world championship 7-year-old event horses. They have a project there, a program for 6-year-olds, but it is somewhat diminutive compared to the 7-year-old program, which includes 70 horses from around the world and is often attended by the best riders and the best horses in the sport. The 7-year-old championship is conducted as a normal CCI 2-star, which means that the horses that appear and their riders have to be qualified for that level. Countries have to send applicants. We can send up to 5 horses. The idea of this prize that Chris and I put in place was to try, at least experimentally for a few years, to fund one horse that would be the best 5-year-old horse from 2 years before in the Young Event Horse Championships to go to the Le Lion and succeed. The United States needs to send riders and horses to every international event and competition that it can to get mainstreamed again. And so we thought this would be a good way to do it. The design of the grant is that the best horse from the national championships from 2 years before that qualifies, agrees to go, and actually goes to France will get the prize. It is, for domestically bred horses, $17,500 per year. And that is diminished if the horse has been imported to $8,000. The logic for that we can talk about if you want, but it's not critical.
All right. Well, Christine, let me come back to you. Tell me why you had this interest in getting involved with this. What was the inspiration for you?
Well, I'm not a rider. And I'd like to say I'm a breeder, but that's to be seen how well my horses come out. And it's just something that I think that we should put our young horses and have them go to this and all be on one page, the same page. So I thought it would be good for the young horses and for the breeders in the United States.
So tell us a little bit more then, Tim, if you would, about how this is implemented.
Sure. We're still working that out because this is the first year, actually. The people involved in this are very excited about it. What we decided with the help of the USEA was to contact the top 10 finalists, those who scored the the highest 10 scores 2 years ago combined, West Coast and East Coast, in the Young Event Horse Finals. And invite each to say, yes, I'm going to try for it. No, I've sold the horse. And no, it's become a hunter or whatever. Then identify is out of that those 10, perhaps the top three or four that are aimed for the program, and follow them, which we've been doing. And eventually, at some point in the summer when it's appropriate, we'll have to choose one horse that is at the top. It's a priority list. It isn't a matter of any subjectivity. The highest scoring horse that qualifies and claims they're going to go wins. If a horse goes to France for this competition, we pay the money. If they go there and can't compete because they are lame or ill or whatever, that's not a problem. We committed to sponsor it and we'll do it. But we do not pay the money until the horse goes. That way, it isn't exactly a prize. It's a grant that requires participation. The fact is that we do have some very fine horses aimed at it this year, and I think we're going to be pleasantly surprised by the app.
What was the vision behind this, Tim, and why was it, you know, something that was obviously dear to your heart to start, because you were looking long-term for the development of the event horse in this country?
Yes, definitely. I've tried to help out with the Young Event Horse Project almost from the beginning. We've participated in it, and now I'm in a leadership position in it as well. The idea here is for us to do everything we can to identify very talented upper-level horses, particularly domestically, particularly with regard to domestic breeders. Cheryl and I, for 30 years, have been domestic breeders of event horses, and we're reaching the end of our career. We feel as though there are things that we've learned that we can use to help guide the future a little bit, and this prize, I'm hoping, will be a big stimulus for the Young Event Horse Program. It seems to have been. The number of horses that have been coming to our finals the last couple of years has gone way up. So, yes, this grant was intended to help rising horses, but it also was intended to give more motivation to people to take part in the Young Event Horse Program without accidentally making the goal of the program to win the program, which is not the purpose of our Young Event Horse Program. It's rather to identify those that later, 5 years down the road, are likely to be prospects for team membership in the eventing.
Right, so obviously this will provide, hopefully, the foundation for the teams in the future. So a long-term investment. It's ongoing then, is it, Tim? This is an annual prize.
Yes, it's very interesting how that works. The ideal thing would be for us to have donated enough money to endow that annual prize in perpetuity. But it turns out in today's world, the amount of money it takes to make such an endowment was beyond our capacity. So instead of just doing nothing, Christine and I decided we'd give enough money for about 5 or 6 years worth of prizes and see how it went. At the end of that time, if it turned out that this program really, really knows how to sing, maybe someone else would come up with more money for an endowment or for another extension of it. Or maybe we will. We'll see how it goes. But the goal here was just to get something going, and that is pretty much what I try to do with all these projects.
All right. Well, I want to turn to you, Cheryl, now to talk about Windfall, the horse that you retired this spring at the Rolex Kentucky 3-day event. And let's start a little bit with his background, how he came into your life and his career.
Well, he came into our lives when Tim and I and Darren were on a search in Europe for a young Tricaner stallion to compete and help promote the breed at the upper levels. We had previously done that with our stallion Amethyst, and
show jumping stallion Abdullah had brought some recognition to trainer horses, and so there seemed to be a void at the top, and we wanted to try and fill that. And we didn't exactly find what we were looking for on that mission, but somehow on the last day of the search, and very disappointed, we were shown Windfall, and at that time he was Ingrid Klimke's, or had been Ingrid Klimke's, reserve horse for Sydney. And we just thought he was probably totally out of our price range, but we sure enjoyed having the opportunity to look at him. And it just seemed like we were the right people in the right place at the right time, and they made an offer to us for the purchase of Windfall, and we did it.
What was it about him then, Cheryl, that captured your heart? Obviously, you probably fell in love with him, for he obviously is the right horse for you after all, and the disappointments that you'd had looking prior to finding him.
Well, I mean, he's like the black stallion. He's every little girl's dream. He's beautiful, he's talented, and he just has a charisma that attracts you to him.
Now, what about you, Tim? A different perspective to when you first saw him, or were you on the same page?
Well, the way it happened, Cheryl's pretty well described, but the fact of the matter is we went over there looking for a half-blood stallion that we could event, and the model of what we were looking for in the pedigree was precisely Windfall's pedigree. It wasn't that we thought we could go over there and buy him. We were looking at 2 and 3 year olds that were from the same line, the Hobbish line of Trakaners, who had thoroughbred on the other side, whose dams were thoroughbred or half-bloods that would add enough blood to the formula to make the right kind of horse for a four-star horse. We really were stunned when we were even allowed to have a look at him and to actually test ride him. But what happened, and what Cheryl didn't tell you, is that when we got into the arena and spent about 10 minutes watching him move around at Liberty, Cheryl, before he ever put a saddle on, Cheryl turned to me and said, "That is the most beautiful horse I have ever seen in my life." It was a combination of his physique, his manner. He's a very noble horse. And the way he moves, he has a way of moving that is not flashy, but extremely effective, and that's what event horses need to be. Cheryl has an excellent eye for horses, and she was the first of us to say, "That's the one. That is absolutely the one.
This is the one that's going home," and obviously led to a very successful partnership with Darren Chacha. Let's talk a little bit about that, Cheryl, and what you consider were the highlights and his contribution to the sport.
Well, he represented our team at the Athens Olympic. I think that was probably the highlight of his career. And he represented the sport and the breed very well throughout his career.
Would you like to add to that, Tim?
Well, yes, of course. He is a dual horse. There are very, very few stallions that are used for breeding active at the upper levels of eventing. They've been rare from always, going even back before the war when it was still a cavalry sport. The fact is that it takes a special kind of horse to be able to actively be breeding mares and then step on the trailer and go to a horse trials and perform, to know the difference between his jobs. And this horse uniquely was able to do this. I mean, much better than any other that we've ever been around. Most people who compete stallions really don't want them covering mares or being collected during a period of time when they're in training or for competition at all. And when he was in Germany, Ingrid insisted that for 4 years he not be bred at all, which is what happened. And, of course, I believe that's true of our latest stallion hero, Chilly Morning, that he's available by frozen semen.
And his progeny are where in the sport?
Well, there are still quite a few coming, actually. But the one of his sons, a Pinto, actually, named Project Runway, was the youngest horse named to the short list for the Pan Ams last time. last time. The his son, Tsetserleg, who is a trichiner almost entirely, was last year's prelim horse of the year in the United States. His son, Van Diver, who is a gelding, and belongs to Debbie Crowley, was ridden by Werner Gevin in the Rolex just 2 weeks ago. Did not complete, but he's the first windfall to make it to Rolex. There are a number of others out there that we think are coming along and on their way up, but those are ones that have actually kind of stamped their mark on the place. There was one named Hano that we bred that is, as far as I know, the only horse that has been national champion in the YEH, both in the four-year-old and five-year-old year. And he was. And that's a unique accomplishment, although that horse was sold to an amateur rider and has not progressed in eventing, sadly.
He's a dressage horse now.
Well, Cheryl, just some final comments for you, and then what you feel overall Windfall has done for you as breeders and has obviously owners invested in the sport. How would you summarize his impact on you?
Well, he has taken us all over the world and great enjoyment in the sport. And after he retired from eventing, I trained him to Grand Prix dressage. And he has competed at the Grand Prix dressage, and I think he's maybe the only stallion in the world that's competed at the four-star level in eventing and then gone on for a career in dressage. It was a short career, but we did it just to say that he could do it.
So he's enjoying a life beyond the sport of eventing, obviously, and giving you both enormous pleasure in the process of his career. Well, I want to thank you both for coming on the program, and Tim for explaining the Holcamp Turner Young Event Horse Le Lion d'Angers prize and grant. There's more information on the website, of course, at useventing.com. My thanks to both of you for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome.
And joining me now is Rob Burke, the Chief Operating Officer at the USEA, to talk about the quest for Le Lion d'Angers and that future event, Young Event Horse Championship. Rob, it is obviously something that the USEA is well invested in now. We've heard from Tim about how it all started, so why don't you continue the story?
Sure. So, you know, I have to say I had to do a lot of research myself to learn about how to qualify for Lion d'Angers, and it's not something that I'd known about previously, but now I'm well-versed in the FEI rules and who can and can't qualify and how to qualify. And what we've been doing this year in the office is going through and tracking all the horses that competed in the 2013 YEH Championships. And according to their ranking, so we took their scores from the West and East Coast Championships and essentially ranked them, one on down to 40. So we had 40 horses essentially that had qualified potentially. And as I'm hoping Tim explained, if the first horse does not end up on track to go to the two-star championships there in France, then the next horse in line has the chance, and then it goes on down. So theoretically, if 39 horses decided not to compete, the 40th horse could still compete if they qualified and met all of the qualification standards. So it's a great grant, and it's really the intention here is, as I'm sure Tim explained, was to really help give a jump start to our breeding program, to put great horses in the hands of our top riders so that they can be competitive internationally, among others. So this year, we have been following those horses, and I can say that already we have, three horses qualifying to compete, and the top of that list is a horse by the name of Ringwood Justice, and Ringwood Justice is ridden by Derek DeGrazia, owned by Derek DeGrazia, was bred by Peter Leonard, and is an Irish sport horse that was sired by Ringwood Harley Carroll, and whose dam was Ringwood Venus, and the dam sire was O'Sylvis. So Derek managed to have the fourth highest score between both championships, and since his horse is qualified right now, he is the first in line to be able to compete, should he decide to do so. The really interesting thing here, though, and I haven't heard back from Derek yet, is that Lyon falls on the exact same weekend as Fair Hill. And it just so happens that Derek is the designer of the cross-country course at Fair Hill. So we're very interested to see what Derek's decision is on that. But in the meantime, we know that there is at least one of the next horses in line to compete is D.A. Duras, owned by Debbie Adams, another fabulous horse that, and I know for a fact that initially Derek was very interested in competing his horse, as is Debbie. So those are two fabulous horses that I think would everybody who knows the horses would agree would be wonderful representatives of the United States should they decide to go.
And now, what about the travel arrangements and, you know, once they get there, how is that handled, Rob?
Sure, yeah. So this is a fairly new beast for us at the USCA. So we've dealing with international travel grants is not something I can say we had actively done in the past. Luckily, I was able to call our friend Joni Morris over at the USCF and learn a lot from the way that the USCF works. Traditionally, what the USCF has done is they essentially will book the travel for that horse. The horse will have a vet, vetting before it heads off. They'll ship it overseas, and that way it kind of reduces the burden on the owner rider to horse overseas. You know, one thing I'll add, that an interesting point about the Lyon qualifications is that the person who rides and qualifies the horse, and they have to complete both a one star with zero obstacle penalties on cross country and a max of four penalties on show jumping, that person has to get the one star and two star qualification, and it's actually a CIC two star, but a CCI one star. That person who gets those qualifications is the only person who's allowed to compete the horse at Lyon. So it creates kind of that pair has to make it to their together.
Yeah, they have to be a combination the whole way through. And then when they've competed, they get back here, what kind of recognition and continuity will there be? I mean, for example, could they then win the same horse, win a grant in future years or not? Or is it just for that year?
It's only for that year, yeah. It's only, so essentially it's because the championships in Lyon are for six-year-olds and seven-year-olds. The way that the grant was set up was so that the horse who competes as a 5-year-old in our championship, our Young Horse Championships, 2 years later will be able to access the grant to compete in Lyon that year. So next year we'll have a whole new batch of horses that had qualified in 2014.
Okay, so this obviously is ongoing, so we'll be following each of these horses when they go to Lyon and when they come back, and maybe they'll be recognized at the annual meeting as well, will they? Will you have some way of recognizing their success or otherwise when they're in when they've been to Lyon?
I think what we're going to have to do, aside from coverage on the website and podcast and every other medium we have, I think what we're going to have to do is probably have a special recognition at the annual meeting at the end of the year. I think it's only fitting. So I think we'll definitely plan on doing that.
All right. Well, we'll follow the story here, of course, on the podcast. Rob, thank you very much for coming on the program and telling us how this actually works. And, of course, they can find more information on the website, too, as how to apply for this, can't they? Where on the website is that, Rob? Or do they just go to the front page?
Yeah, if they go on to U.S. Eventing under competitions and the Young Horse section, they'll be able to find it.
And our final guest is Debbie Adams from Medford, New Jersey. Debbie wears many hats in the sport, and she also produces young event horses, one of which is qualified for this year's Le Lion d'Angers Young Horse Finals. Hi, Debbie. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, we're going to talk about what you look for in young stock, of course, ahead of the qualifications that you've completed now with your horse, D.A. Duras, who is now qualified for Le Lion d'Angers. Tell us a little bit about that horse before you tell us what you look for in young stock.
Well, he is a seven-year-old Dutch gelding, and I believe that his breeding really aligns him perfectly for the sport. That's one of the reasons I chose him. But he is a big gelding with a big jump and a big heart, so let's hope he's got a big future.
And how did you find him?
I have been going to Holland recently to shop for my young horses. I have a very good friend who's become a business partner over there and has been helping me find these young horses.
And when was it that you actually found it? What age was he when you discovered him?
I buy my horses when they're four, usually, because then they're old enough that I can start to see their athletic ability and their attitude. If I wait till they're five, they're usually a lot more expensive, so I try to get them at four.
And what has he done so far since you've had him, Debbie?
Okay, when I brought him over, he had been bred to be a show jumper. So this is not a horse that had hacked out. He hadn't been exposed to cross-country or dressage. He'd just been started over fences in the typical Dutch program, so they show them at a very young age, just getting them exposed to the ring. So he had done some jump courses in Holland. And then when I get them here, I'm lucky enough to have a farm that has cross country on it. So I take them out in the fields really early and just start to expose them to riding on terrain and seeing things out in front of them, whatever it might be, just getting used to life going forward.
So obviously making it to Le Lion d'Angers for those young horse finals would be a milestone in his young career, I would imagine, and add the value to him that you're looking for as you produce young event horses.
Oh, absolutely. And it would just be so exciting. I mean, to take a horse, get him as a four-year-old, pick him out, produce him day after day, and then to have an opportunity like that would just be so fun. It'd be just really rewarding, and it just as a little feather in your cap that, yes, he's a good horse and he's on his way.
Yeah, and what will he be doing this summer now? What's his schedule of events leading up to that, Debbie?
Well, I have to cross my fingers as I say this because it's horses, so you don't ever want to jinx yourself. But he just did Jersey Fresh CIC, and he had run the Fork and he ran Red Hills on the CIC 2-star, and he jumped around these tracks clean. And his three-day will be Bromont. So what's that? Early June, goes to Bromont and runs the 2-star.
And you have a jockey for him, don't you?
Yes. I don't compete him. I ride him a lot at home. But I have Kelly Prater competing him for me. And she is just absolutely brilliant over fences, especially cross-country. I mean, I couldn't pick a better rider for him.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what you look for in young stock. Obviously, you source them in Europe. You say you're now going to the Netherlands more. So what's your philosophy behind finding these young horses, and what are you primarily looking for at first glance, Debbie?
Well, even before first glance, what I started to do, because I was always buying thoroughbreds like everyone else for our sport, and then I realized it would be a lot easier if I bought horses that were bred to jump and had some quality to their movement. And it would be much easier to teach a horse how to gallop across terrain than to teach one how to use its body over fences. Having a little natural aptitude has made the sport very different. And then, of course, now that we have a little different format in the sport, without the all the phases for cross country, the thoroughbred blood, we didn't think was going to be as important, but now we're finding out it is to have it in there. So when I go look at the young horses, I buy horses that have at least 50% thoroughbred in them, so they will have the gallop step and they will have the endurance.
But in terms of confirmation as well, how important is that? What are the key things that you're looking for?
Oh, that's huge. When I go to look at the youngsters, because I look at the bloodlines first to make sure that I'm on track for, like I said, thoroughbred blood and some jumper blood because of where I'm shopping. But confirmation is absolutely huge. I mean, to be an athlete, you have to have physical attributes. Probably the most important thing to think about is just the balance, the symmetry of their body. I mean, it's one of those things you can look at them right away and see, yes, he's symmetrical. You know, you can read all the books for everyone, the length of the neck, to the length of the back, and the length of the hips. But there's just a symmetry you have to have and an uphill build and enough bone that they have some strength to it. You know, the lighter weight horses, it can be a little bit hard on them with the cross country. So you want to have enough bone that way. And I'm huge on attitude. I always do something the very first day I handle them just to see what their attitude's going to be.
Well, I was going to come to temperament because not only were we looking at rideability as well, but it all comes back to that basic temperament, doesn't it? And, you know, and how they address you when you walk in the box or how you meet them. That relationship is key, isn't it? So what sort of things, just to give us an idea, do you want to look for? What's your instinct tell you when you first meet them?
Well, when you first meet them, you try to find a situation where you can assess their personality a little bit. Maybe I'll arrive early and go see them in the barn to see if they're like come to the front of the stall, stand in the back of the stall, if there's a lot of kick marks on the stall, how they are towards the horses next to them. If I don't get the opportunity to see them in the stall, I'll try to just hack them someplace where they haven't normally gone, maybe just riding away from the other horses. I'm very lucky in the place that I go to in Holland, they'll let me take them out and I'll hack them in the forest, I'll take them in the field, I'll walk them to a mud puddle, try to get them on some uneven terrain, just anything you can to assess how they think. Even riding in they have a very formal jump arena. It's a lovely show jump setup. So you can just ride them away from the arena, bring them back to it, take them around the barn, let them go near cars that are moving, somebody taking their jacket off, just anything that you can assess how they think. And I'm a great believer in always sitting on them twice.
Right. And now, given all the other attributes that you're looking for, has there ever been a time when you just didn't like the temperament? You checked all the other boxes, but there was just something about that horse when you met him that was not up to muster as far as Debbie Adams' standards is concerned, and you turned the horse away?
Yeah. I've done that quite a bit, actually. I've refused to get, very nicely, I've declined to get on them. I'll say it's a lovely type, but it's just not for me. It's not a horse that I think is going to do well in the sport, not the right size for me. Yeah, and I've had horses where I'll just walk and trot and get right off.
Yeah,
you can feel they're not going to take it.
But I was just wondering about the temperament, though, Debbie. You know, when you've checked all the other boxes and this is a horse that you really do like, but once you walk up to him, there's just something about him that doesn't quite jive with you. You don't think he's going to have the attitude and the personality for the job.
Yeah, well, then I literally just walk away. And you can usually tell that. I mean, the other extreme is the Adirmo horse that Buck Davidson rides for me. When I looked at him in September, he'd been turned out in the field since February because he was four and he was growing and he was at a big farm, so it's a business. They were just waiting for him to grow into himself. So when they free lunged him around the indoor and I saw him move, I said, I'll get on that one. And he hadn't been ridden since February. And they were very good. They put a young girl up first because they didn't want to hurt one of their American customers, I presume. And the horse walked right out of the indoor, through the parking lot, between the cars, up to the jump ring, absolutely forward walk, ears pricked, looking out the front of the bridle. I mean, I just thought that was absolutely brilliant. Like, that's a big sales thing to me before we even jumped in.
Yeah, just the right attitude right there.
Yeah, and I've ridden terrific athletes at a farm, and they're constantly, like, trying to look away, like look above the ring or out of the ring in a bit of a hesitant manner, not going forward, just inattentive. And then I don't want to deal with it. It's not fair to the horse either to try to put them in a job where they don't belong.
I want to come back to this point of the you touched on earlier, Debbie, about the changing format, because you obviously come from the sport in the long format days, looking for a very different animal, and you've changed your position and you've switched back a little bit, because not what we're looking for now is very different in some ways, but in other ways not. We seem to have come, you know, we seem to be evolving with this shift in format. So where are you at right now in terms of what those qualities are that you're looking for, in, as well as the breeding with the horse, and what has changed if people were coming from that, you know, from the traditional format, or if they're just starting in the sport, what would you suggest they look for now?
Well, I think I actually wish I had these horses when we were doing the long format, because I'm owning better athletes now. And I think our sport has really evolved to be a true triathlon. I think they have to be able to do dressage, show jumping, and cross country. They can't be horses that are just brilliant cross country and come from behind after they've had a mediocre to poor dressage, but because they're fast and brave, win at the top of the sport. They have to be triathletes. And I think that the riding has improved immensely. I think people have to really pay attention to the quality of their training and the connection that they establish with the horse. I mean, the true dressage and jumping connection. I think that's huge now, where in long format, I think people got away with horses having the heart, but maybe not being that talented.
Let's talk about the show jumping phase, though, Debbie. Are you looking for a horse that can jump 1.40 meters?
Oh, I love a horse that can easily jump bigger than our sport demands by statistics. Because if you're jumping, you know, cross country, you know, only jumping advanced height is not really that large in the show jumping world. So people think, oh, well, you don't need that good of a jumper. But if I'm on a long course, you know, 8 minutes, 10 minutes, 11 minutes, I want a good jumper. I want a good jumper that when he comes downhill, he knows how to take care of his legs and get his feet out of the way. You know, we're not looking for a speed horse so much. If you look at the Rolex courses, those horses have to be clever with their feet all the way through.
Well, I was going to mention that next, Debbie. You know, the need for them to just get their knees out of the way very quickly these days. Does that inform the gymnastic exercises that you do at home with these young horses?
Absolutely. I mean, I like a really uphill build of my horses to start with, because I think it makes it easier for them. So, of course, they're going to have a better attitude if it's easier. But I'm a great believer in gymnastics. I trained with Bruce Davidson for years and years, and he's always put in all kinds of gymnastics, and I've just evolved more and more in that direction so that the horses have the instinct and reflexes, because they've just been doing it since the very beginning.
And some thoughts on the actual fitness work for cross country these days, and how, of course, those demands have changed with the changing format. Do you have a changing attitude towards that, or where are you now in terms of preparing horses for this short format? Do you give them the road work that they once used to have?
Well, you know, that's a question that I really have for all the people in the sport that we respect. I mean, I was just speaking with somebody last week, just trying to understand the best way to get these horses fit, because we all tend to go with what we know which I'm not always sure is the best. So my conditioning, I would say, is fairly similar. I do try and put a bit of a long, slow base on them. So we'll do a long trot session. What I've added this year, due to some advice of some of my 3-4-star friends that have worked with the Warm Blood Thoroughbred Red Crosses, they're trying to put a slow canter base in these horses. So I've added that to Duraz's spring schedule, just to see if that is going to help in direction. He's done really well, but he's only had to go 8 minutes so far, and he's finished fresh. I mean, he did Fair Hill last fall when he truly was a six-year-old, and he jumped around clean, and he was fine, and he wasn't tired, and his numbers and recovery were good. But I'm always just looking to see how we're going to make it a little better, because you can see horses that do tire at the end of the 4-star, and you want to know which ones did and why. So I'm basically picking everybody's brains right now to see if we're getting any smarter in that direction.
Yeah, it is definitely evolving, isn't it, as the format changes and new proposals ahead of us as well, of course, that we've discussed here on the show. So constantly evolving. I'm sure you're keeping an eye on it as you continue to produce these lovely young horses, Debbie. Well, congratulations again on making it to the Young Horse Finals at Le Lion d'Angers later this year. And thank you very much for coming on the program.
Oh, well, thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm excited about the whole process, and hopefully we're going to get a trip to France.
And you can find out more information about these championships on the website at useventing.com, and then click on competitions. And whilst you're there, be sure to check out all the latest news from the USEA, as well as the latest rankings. If you're new to the podcast, you can find it on iTunes under the podcast store. Just look for USEA and download it to your smartphone or tablet app, such as Podbean or Stitcher. You'll also find a transcript of these podcasts on the USEA website. Until next week, thanks for listening and enjoy your eventing.